So I spoke a couple of weeks ago. See, I've done the fasting a couple of times in my life. I've done it a few years now. And the truth of the matter is the hardest part of a fast is not today. This is the fun part. When you realize some have done well, some have not done so well. It doesn't matter how we got here, but we got to the victory day. But the battle starts tomorrow morning. The battle starts tomorrow morning when you start to question, and you'll start to hear testimonies in church. You'll start to hear people receiving their miracles. You'll say, ah, I fasted and God's done it. And then the enemy comes and he starts to say, well, I told you you shouldn't have fasted again about it this year. I've realized that this next couple of months will be my challenging because the enemy comes with his lies. But what I spoke to you about, what Matthew chapter, Jesus is telling the people, his disciples, like, you've got to understand how the enemy works. If he will come back, the Bible is full of people with debt. Ezra fasted for 3 days for his finances. So there was debt. So if you haven't broken through with your debt, why don't you get another fasting book and take it away and say, God, when am I supposed to fight for the final breakthrough of this? People fasted all the time. Because you know what fasting does? It suffocates the power out of it. What you've done for 20 days, you have suffocated the life out of it. But when you start to speak the promises of God, you break its cycle. So for the 21 days, we have been suffocating the life out of it. You don't get to speak to me, Satan. You don't get to intimidate me anymore. You don't get to put that pressure on me. You don't get to make me feel lonely anymore. You don't get to make me feel sick anymore. So we've been suffocating the life out of it. But from here on in, we need to praise. We need to start to praise. We need to worship Him. We need to get it. If you are doing your devotion in the morning, tomorrow morning, get up and keep going. Keep praying. Don't just think the fast is finished. I'm done my 21 days. Put the book aside. You get another book if that's what you need to have. And you start it tomorrow morning. And you just say, God, I'm going to worship every single morning for the next 21 days. I don't care what I've got anymore. I'm going to continue this devotion with you. The temptation is going to be, I finished the fast. I've done it. Whatever you're doing, you stop and you keep it. Turn it into a praise because it's happening now. Right now, in the heavens, God is putting it together. And I spoke to you that the last 21 days, God was revealing you promises, 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 prophesying. You're going to have, I'm going to show you, you're going to be filled, you're going to see it. This is where it's going to, they're your prophets, they're your prophetic words. That's why we said, write them down. So then in 6 months' time, when you're going, oh, it's not going to happen, God's going to say, look at your fasting book. I spoke to you on the 5th of February, and I told you, and then I told you again a couple of days later, He's not changing it. You can cast out demons, but you cannot cast out promises of God. You can cast out demons, but you cannot cast the promises of God. But we have to make a decision. When you come, because the enemy will come, he will come to a house that is, oh, he will, do you know what? He will hear. I don't think I'll go to her this time because he'll be able to hear the worship out of my spirit already. He will hear it and he won't even bother. So when he comes, because he says, the Bible says he comes alone and he finds the house empty. And when he finds the house empty, then he goes back and he takes 7 more evil spirits with him. He'll come on his own first just to test the waters. Can I still make her abort her dream? Can I still make her question her God? Can I still make her question what God had said? And then when he realizes that it's still empty, then he brings 7 more evil spirits. And what do? Then they live there. This is nothing we muck around about. This is not about doing church and having fun on a Sunday. This is about shifting the demonic in our world. This is about saying, I see you, Satan. I see your plans. I see what you're trying to do, but you've got to work out, I just walked into that house. And so when I'm walking in, I'm breaking every piece of darkness in that moment. In your workplace, there is heaviness. There is stuff going on. Guess what? When you walk in there, you will break it because you are carriers of light. That is the truth of the matter. So the enemy can reside wherever he is. But when I show up, you better back it off, God. You better back it off because I will shine the light of God. That is what's going to happen. And that is how we break the cycle. And that is how we break it once and for all. But I said to you that sometimes the hardest part of when we put a fast is we begin to get ourselves challenged with what we're having to do, learning to just wait on God. But I want you to know something. When the enemy comes, because the Bible says he will come. He will come to what? To kill, steal, and destroy. He's got one plan. Church, he's got one plan. He doesn't care about your life. He doesn't care about your future. He doesn't care about your children. He doesn't care about your business. He's got one purpose for his existence, is to make sure that he kills, steals, and he destroys you. Everything you have, everything you own, that is his one plan. So he may come and speak things to you that sound right, but recognize that the enemy's there. This time when he comes into 2019, it's the same me, but I've got new wisdom. This time when he comes to me, it's the same me, but I got a new strength inside of me. This time when he comes to me, he's got to know I got a new revelation, a fresh authority, and I'm walking under a new anointing. That's what happens when you're going to come and face me in 2019, Satan. You got to realize it is the same me, but I'm walking under a new anointing. I've got a fire of God that maybe this week might be a bit smaller, but this is what I'm telling you, it will always be burning somehow, because the cycle is going to be broken in Jesus' name. So I continue to speak that there was a reveal date. There's a time of preparation, which is where we all are starting right here, right now. If you haven't seen your miracle, so I gave the illustration, the most godly illustration I could think of was the iPhone. And I spoke about that, so we won't go back to that. But we spoke about just how when the iPhone was revealed to the world, it was just a reveal where Steve Jobs told the world, I'm about to change the way you live your life. He showed the picture. But when he spoke about it, he did not release it on the same day. He told them that what he was showing them, he revealed it, but he did not release it. But listen to this. When Steve Jobs showed the world, he revealed what he was about to do. He also told them of the release date it was going to happen. Let me tell you this morning that God has the release date also set in motion in Jesus' name. Everything that you've been heard of, everything that you've been seeing in the last 21 days, I'm telling you, the release date is already announced in the heavens. Let me tell you why. Because in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, it says this, for the vision, what was revealed to you, is yet for an appointed time. Which means there is a release date on your miracle that has going to come to pass. He says, your vision, what I revealed to you, is there in motion. It has an appointment with you. That has an appointment with you. It has an appointment with you. Your miracle, your healing, your breakthrough, your business, everything, has got an appointment with you with it. It says, and at the end, you will speak. You are going to give a testimony. You are going to stand and give a testimony. And it will not lie. You can't tell me when I see God's miracles. Though it tarries, I love this. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will come. It will come. God is saying to Habakkuk, and I was saying this morning, I was like, Habakkuk, the very first chapter, he's like, what the heck are you doing to me, God? And God says, He says, he started to reveal, you're a leader. You're a leader. Son, you're a leader. He's like, well, I don't feel like a leader. I don't look like a leader. I'm being defeated everywhere I turn. I don't feel very victorious, God. Read Habakkuk. Read Habakkuk before the week is over. Read Habakkuk. You'll love it. It's my life. He just lets loose with God. He's like, what the heck are you doing? In the one chapter, he's like, and God says to him, I'm calling you to be a leader, son. Well, it doesn't feel like it. Doesn't feel like it. Doesn't look like it. He was being defeated so badly. But then that's when God said, didn't address it. Didn't say, it's okay. You got it. He just says, the vision is for an appointed time. You are going to become what I've said you're going to become. You have to understand that right now, whatever you wrote in that fasting pack, God has got a date and a time to it right now. And some of you will get it in the next 7 days. Some of you will get it in the next 7 months. Some of you may get it in the next 12 months. I do not know, but there is an appointment with your name on it, with a time and a date. It will not be coincidence. For the rest of this year, everybody that is in this church, where whoever you meet over the next 12 months, it will not be a coincidence or an accident. God is going to preordain you to meet people that are going to open doors for your life. Can someone shout an amen and come into an agreement with it? Because every promise that God has spoken to you, He has appointed the release date to be attached to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is trying to teach the church. I'm going to do the same thing to you this morning because I had to do it to myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes." That is so specific. I reckon Paul's lost the plot and he says, "I don't get how many more times I have to tell you this. It doesn't matter how many promises. If God has said it, it's a yes. It's coming to pass." He said, "He has anointed you for this. He has anointed us. Set a seal of ownership." Come on, listen to the scriptures this morning. "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. He has anointed us. He has set a seal of ownership on us. And He has put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit." Listen to this. "To guarantee what is to come." And God's saying, "I want to put this in your spirit right now, because I want you to never lose the feeling you've got right now. I want every sense." See, right now we've got tingling, we've got motions, we're feeling the anointing. God's saying, "Don't want you to ever forget how you're feeling right now, because that is a guarantee that what God has said is coming to pass." But church, we have got to be persistent. We have got to be firm. We have got to be steadfast, knowing that nothing the enemy can do will abort that appointment. Nothing the enemy can do. I don't care how many things are falling through. I don't care how many things that looks feel like how many doors are closing. The enemy cannot abort that release date. When God revealed it, He had the release date right alongside it. That's why He said to Abraham, "Go on, son. Call those things that are not as though they are, because they're coming." So He's saying to you, ICC, go ahead, call it, call it. What is it? What is it in your pack? "I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be married. I'm going to have children. I'm going to have a business. I'm going to have a miracle." What is it? He said, go call it, give it a name, because it's coming. Call those things as though they're not, as though they are. He didn't say it to Abraham, "Once you see the multitude that I'm going to give you." He said, go call it now, now. In faith, speak to it. Call those things that are not, they're not in motion yet, they're not here yet, but call them as though they are. For the next part of this year, make room for that. Make room for it. Can you sustain a child in your house? Or are you still waiting for the alarm to wake you up to get to church on a Sunday? Because a baby will wake you up way earlier than what the alarm will. So they've told me. Have you been to see what you need to change? See, we have done things, we put things in motion for 21 days. Now we have to begin to prepare for it. We have to prepare. We have to start acting like it was coming tomorrow. We have to start speaking like it. If there's a business coming under your anointing, what's its name? What's it called? There's already a business that started in the last 21 days. And when she told me the testimony, she told me the name of it and she was ready with business cards. She wasn't going to wait for it. In faith, she said, "Here it is. I'm ready for it." So guess what? The anointing has to just fall on it now. He doesn't have to wait till it's prepared. The anointing will fall on it. Can I say who it is? Can I say who it is? Yes. A new business started. It's over this side. Because it's faith. Because it's faith. It's because, but you know what? You've been sowing. There's a great scripture that was read last week that you've been sowing, you've been sowing, you've been sowing. Just get ready for the harvest. Expect the harvest. It is coming. My God made me a promise and it's going to happen. The enemy cannot abort my appointment with it. Call it. God says call it. Name it. You don't have to get worried about this anymore. God spoke over our church at the beginning in January 2019. He said over us, he said this, and now I began to realize it took this whole time for me to realize God gave us the scriptures of Psalm 125. I was asking God, what are we as a church going to become this year? And then I began to realize what it was. Psalm 125 is spoken over ICC Newcastle. It says, those who trust in God are like Mount Zion. Those who trust in God. You know what that means? While we're in the preparation season, while we're waiting for God to bring the miracle, we are trusting in God. And while we are trusting in God, we are like Mount Zion. Nothing can move it. A rock solid foundation mountain that you can always depend on. Newcastle can depend on us. We are prayer warriors. We are shifting people. We are going to see things happen. And people are going to say, you need to get to Waratah. Because something is moving in that church. Not because of us, but we know what my Zion is doing. We know who Zion is, and we're trusting in him. I cannot be defeated. The mountains encircle Jerusalem. You know what Jerusalem is? It was the throne room of God. The mountains circle Jerusalem. They enthrone the room, throne room of God. And God enriches his people. He always has, and he always will. You can't be moved. We will not be defeated. We will be unshakable, unmovable, because God is my rock, my solid mountain, and I will only depend on him because he knows my release date. And no one in this room does except for him. Not even I know, but I have an appointment with my destiny. Every promise I've got, there is a yes alongside it. The Bible just says that I have to give the amen to it. I just have to give the agreement to it. I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to still have to wait. But there is a yes, and that's all I need to know. I have to add the amen. That's why we kept doing that song. As you kept doing it, you could feel yourself changing. You could feel your spirit because you were saying an amen. In the spirit, you were saying amen, amen, amen. And that's what the Bible says, that he was he brings the yes, you bring the amen. Come into an agreement with it. The enemy cannot move us back to the issues that we had last year. The enemy cannot continue to bring those challenges of last year. This year, we will break those generational curses. This year, we will break those generational strongholds. This year, we are going to step into the reason that we exist on this earth. The reason that I was woken up this morning, I will step into it in my 2019. I am going to see everything that God has promised. This is the year that you will see your finances released. You are going to see the breakthrough you've been calling for. You are going to see what God has said yes to. That is your year. Because when the enemy tries to come, the house is filled with God's promises. That's what worship is. That's what worship is. That's what worship does. It forces you to bring your spirit into alignment with the truths of God. That's what we did in worship this whole morning. We were just bringing everything, bringing all the rubbish we dealt with this week, with all the hardships, all the atmospheres that we had to come up against. We brought them into the house of God, and you get yourself in alignment with the Spirit of God right here. And it began to fall upon you, and you began to come in agreement with the promises of God. That's why the enemy doesn't, he says, you don't need to get to church on time. They're only doing worship. Oh, the power of worship. That's where you're coming to your agreement. That's where you speaking and singing out the truth and the promises of God. I said this word 2 weeks ago. Genesis chapter 21 says, the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he promised. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God said it would. The Lord kept his word. You got to trust God. You got to trust God in this. You've got to trust God. You don't know the release date. You don't know when it's coming. All you need to know, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's happening. But I want to just speak one thing this morning. When I thought the sermon was done, I was actually on Monday and I was telling the worship team I was going to speak about something very different. But this just kept coming in my spirit. So I felt like God, I'd put that sermon away. I spoke about where God is releasing, revealing all the things He wants us to begin to believe for, revealing the miracles that He wants us to see, revealing the things that He wants us to hold on to. And we spoke about the preparation. That's why we don't see it straight away. But God is still working on it. He's working on you. I spoke about the Proverbs 31. We all want that Proverbs 31. We want that Proverbs 31 guy in our life. But there's 30 chapters we need to be reading before that talks about everything that we should to beget that. That Proverbs 31 woman comes into play because all those chapters were fulfilled. Otherwise, it would have been Proverbs chapter 1. But if you read Proverbs chapter 1, it's nothing like Proverbs 31. You might want to read that. The opening statement is not what you want to hear. But it prepares you to be what God is calling you to be. So we spoke about that God has been revealing. And then this is the preparation season, where when Steve took back the phone, he continued to prepare on it and kept working on it, because he wanted you to know the first time you will hold an iPhone in your hand or one of those smartphones in your hand, he realized that you would never want to change it. You would always continually go back for more, and you trusted his word. That's when the next phone came. Everybody didn't even have to worry about what it did. They just went up and started lining up days before they left families, they left jobs, they gave everything and went to line up on a word that a man spoke. Because his word was good the first time. God's word is always good. Hallelujah. It is always coming to pass. So he took back, and then the release date that he'd already announced came to pass. But as I began to speak, God said to me something else. When he finally released the iPhone, I'm going to use that, but whatever. When he released the iPhone, he gave it to you in a beautiful shiny box. Remember, it was like there's people taking selfies with this box. You know, some people were just like, oh, it was like a piece of gold for some of them. But you know, the thing is, when you open the box, and this comes with most things, when you open it, it's shiny, it's fancy, but there's something in the box that is just as important. That is just as important, if not more valuable, than the item that's in the box. Is revelation coming to you. It's called a manual. It's called a manual. Most of us push it away. Don't look at it. Don't even care about it. But the manual is usually placed on top. The word manual is this: a book giving instructions or information detailed by the laborer or the creator's hands. He didn't just give you the iPhone and says, good luck with it. Start pushing buttons and good luck with it. There's a very specific book that goes with that item you have in your hand. It's a book that he has written, the creator wrote, for you to understand what is now in your hands. It's a detailed explanation of what he has done and you have purchased. Do you know that most of the time when you open that manual, the first words that you read is, please read carefully before beginning. Most of you have never looked in a manual, but I have. Not at the right time, but I have. It says, please read carefully before you begin. Usually it's in bold. Usually it's really big. And it's usually at the very front. Most of us push it aside. We start pushing buttons. This thing doesn't work. Well, this is me, okay? I'll just talk about what I do, okay? But in the manual, I'm going to just skip through because of time. There's a page that says, please read carefully before you begin. But there's also a warning page, which says, do not do this. Do not, do not. Do not, do not. Usually those pages are a lot longer. And if you go back and your item is not working, you can probably find why it's not working under those do not sentences, which I've also learnt. So there is a please read carefully before you begin. There is a warning page which says do not. But there's also a warranty page. The manufacturer, with that booklet, gives you a warranty because he guarantees you that what he has made, if you follow his instruction, the product will perform exactly what it was created and intended for. Can someone give me a mighty amen? Amen. He said, I am so confident that what I have put in your hands, it will work if you follow these instructions, that I will give you a guarantee on it. I will guarantee that if you follow the instructions, because I, the Creator, know exactly what I've done for that. Do you know what I love about it? Listen here. On the warranty page, it tells me that if it doesn't work, it tells me where to return it. Come on, are you here, ICC? I have a Samsung phone, which is just as brilliant as an iPhone. Yeah. Amen. 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 Android, whatever it is. Don't care if you think we stole it off Steve Jobs. I don't care. But do you know, as good as my Samsung, I cannot take it back to the iPhone because they were not the creators of what I'm holding. Come on, are you here with me? I know I'm getting a little bit technical now. But the warranty that I have on the product I own is from the Creator that made it for me. That's exactly, he said, don't take it to anybody else. Don't take it to anybody as good as me. Don't take it to anybody who says that they can fix it. Take it back to where it came from. Listen to me, ICC. We need to make a decision that good word God spoke in Genesis chapter 1. He said, let me make her in my image. Let me create her in my image so that when something goes wrong, she will come back to me and she will see me through her. In her storm, she will see me. When she gets challenged, she will see me because I am inside of her and I have my image inside of her. When she goes through the storm, I will speak to her because she's my creation. We keep going to counterfeits. We keep going to psychologists and doctors, and God says, you go as much as you want. But if you get back to the Creator, He will give you the direction of where you need to be going to. He's like, I put my blood to it. I give you my guarantee. I went to the cross that you could go through this. He did not go to the cross so that you and I could hopelessly get through this life. He said, I put a guarantee that your sins are washed away. You are bought with a price. I will fight for you. You will see these victories. You will hold your miracle, and what I say will come to pass. Nobody else will tell me that but the Creator, who knows me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my failings. He knows my shortcomings. That's why I need to go to Him, because He speaks the life back into me. It's no surprise to Him that things haven't happened in my life that I thought would have happened. He knows. But when He gave it to me, He wrote a guarantee page. Said, keep coming back to me, girl. Keep coming back to me. He even said it in Genesis chapter 2. He said, the Lord commanded the man, saying, this is about Adam, and He says, of every tree of the garden, eat freely. But of the tree of knowledge, do not eat it. What was He doing then? Why did He say that? Go and eat everything. Everything is good, but don't touch it. You know what He was saying? He labeled that tree the tree of knowledge for a reason. Because He said, I want you to keep coming back to Me for your knowledge. I don't want you to be able to access it like you can access everything else in your life. You can access everything you want in your life, but for knowledge, I want you to come back to Me. But do you know what? He put it in the tree, in the garden. It's going to be there. Google's there. But He wrote in my book. And Google can tell me whatever they want, but if it doesn't align with what is in here, this is where my Creator wrote and bled His blood for me. This is it, in this book. There's always going to be a tree of knowledge that will pop up somewhere through your life. Someone who thinks they're better than you. Someone who can tell you how to do it better. But as a warranty, will you go back to the One who created you and check with Him? He said, I want you to eat of all the fruit, of all of it. Eat it in abundance, of every single tree. He said, do not touch the tree of knowledge. For when you touch it, you will surely die. He did not mean the actual physical death, but He realized that your soul would start to die because it was losing grip of the truth that God had sustained. And the first time we hear of Satan is right after that. where he says to Eve, are you sure that God said don't touch that tree? Why would he say that? All he wants you to do is question what God has said. That's all he cares. That is what he's going to do. As of tomorrow morning, he's going to make you start to question. That is why we have a booklet when we do our ICC fast, because we want you to write it down. After that, God spoke to Habakkuk and he said, for the vision is for an appointed time. He said, write it down, because you are going to forget it. I know the brain I put in you. It will forget it. Write it down. Because then you can't deny what's written down. Come on, stand with me, church.